Father, I thank you for your presence. We're so in need of awareness of your presence. I just bless your people this day. I just ask that you would speak and they would hear and be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I say this a lot, but I'm going to be short. At the end, we'll have everyone up for communion. One of the times I spoke not too long ago, I had mentioned there's a stirring going on. And I've been feeling it for a while within myself. I don't know what you have or haven't been feeling, but I feel there's a stirring in this world going on. And I believe God is about to move in ways that we've prayed about for decades. And he's just been waiting for us to get in alignment with him. You know, there's a song, I feel in my bones he's about to move, right? And I can't escape it. And whenever I get up here, you feel it more intense. You know, he's about to move. And we heard a little while ago about the Pool of Bethesda. You know, everyone should have just got in and claimed the victory. You know, they gave up hope because they weren't first. I wouldn't have cared if I was last. As long as I got in, the move of God. I believe that he's about to move. I spoke on the enemy's schemes a few weeks ago. And this has anything to do with my message, okay? I want to deal with what's going on in the world briefly. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I think that's been evident if we're paying attention. He only has one plan. That's it. So if you want to be wise to the enemy's schemes, he only has one scheme. He's going to lie to produce killing, destruction, and thievery. That's what he's going to do. So you shouldn't be caught off guard. Why? Because I've just told you. Okay? It's written in God's word. That's what he does. That's all he's capable of doing. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, the events of the past few weeks, I really don't like to watch the news, but often when I come home, the news is on because there is nothing else good on. You know, unless you watch the Packers and they're good. That's part of the events of the past few weeks, you know. No one can deny it. You may not like them, but you can't deny it. But we had this Ukrainian refugee, Irina Zarutska. And I don't know how many times I've seen what happened, but here's a girl that escaped situations that we can't even imagine. The horrors and atrocities that she escaped to come receive horror and atrocity in our land. If that doesn't anger you, something's wrong with you. And what am I saying? Then we bear witness to what I think is one of the most travesties in this nation, all the way back to some of the assassinations of our presidents. I think there's going to be a ripple effect from this that will reverberate till the Lord comes. And, you know, remember, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, Jesus came, and Satan had a plan. Steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he did. And he got people to buy into a lie, right? So they would execute his plan. And he thought he won. But then, God moved. And death had no victory. And the grave was found empty. So the only thing I want to say into this is Satan's losing. Now you can feel however you feel. I think the nation can be in mourning. You can feel sad. You can have sympathy, empathy, compassion, all those things. My heart's been heavy. I feel the weight of what God's about to do. And I have this joyous expectation, but sorrow in my heart at the moment. I feel for a family that has to go through pain that's unimaginable. Some of you have gone through that type of pain. It never leaves you. You know? Life is precious. This life is precious to us. It will always be. Eternal life is more precious. He's not in a sorrowful place. So we have all these emotions and all these things, and we see the wife and we think of the little girl running and then her daddy's not there. And I have four daughters. And now I have grandkids. And I like it when they run up to me and want to jump into my arms. And I grew up without grandfathers. I had no grandfather to run up into my arms. One just never knew. The other died when I was like 18 months. And I always thought, how would I be different? And I have all these thoughts going through my head about what's happened. And I go from sadness to anger and all these things. All these reactions. And then you see people talking and they sow seeds of discord and division and all these types of things. And I don't know what's wrong with them. But their eyes are darkened. They're blind and their mouths need to be shut. They spew venom. Even with good motive. Sometimes we think we're doing justifiable things and we're spewing venom. But how is the church to respond? There's only one way. In love. See, the world doesn't need us to rise up in anger. The world needs us to rise up in love and bring unity to a divided nation. It's hard to bring unity when you choose to be divided yourselves. I really believe part of the move of God that He's waiting on, and someone mentioned it, let the church arise. He's waiting on His people. There's a verse in the Bible that you guys are all familiar with. If my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. And I'll tell you, what's happening in our nation is our fault. And it's about time we as a people take responsibility for it. You say, what do you mean, Bruce? Well, I'll tell you. God created heaven and earth. He created man in His image and said this, let him have dominion. Later in the Bible, it says we are Christ's ambassadors, which means we have all authority of Christ to function governmentally on this earth. We've allowed darkness and powers and principalities and rulers to do things in this world that we're the ones that are supposed to stop it. We're the ones that's supposed to rise up and say, not in our land. His kingdom come, His will be done. You can shut up and move on. You're powerless in this place. It's time for the church to arise and be who they're called to be and not let distraction and division and all these things come to be. It's time to move from division to devotion. That's my word for these events. The rest is up to you. I'm going to say this. Stand. Now. Just so it's clear. Sometimes it's not, you know, okay, we're going to have an altar call or something, you know, and it's not clear. I want to be clear. I want everyone to stand. Okay? I'm going to pray. I don't want you listening to me. What I have to say isn't nearly as important as what you have to say. So I expect for it to be noisy as we all pray together about one thing, repenting for allowing darkness to appear victorious. I want to be clear. Darkness is not victorious. Why? Because we're the light. Darkness can't stand us. It has no power over us. We have dominion. So Heavenly Father, lift your voices. We just want to take a moment to turn our hearts to you. Lord, we're not going to allow darkness to appear victorious. We're going to unite together for your purpose. See your kingdom come, to see your reign begin in this earth. We're going to take back this nation for you. Once again, one nation under God. You are head of this nation, Lord. I pray for our leaders, Lord. Grip their hearts, Lord. Lord, let them move in love. Let your love reign supreme in this nation and let it reign over your people. Give your people vision to how to engage with your activity on a daily basis, Lord, that you may be glorified in your church once again. I thank you for it. We bless you, God. We thank you that you're about to move and you're waiting for us to engage with you. We thank you, Lord. We're looking forward to what you're about to do. We bless you. Receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe seated. Okay, none of that includes the time for my message because I haven't started it. No, I am going to be short. I am going to be short. This week was really challenging for me to get out of me what's in me for where we're heading. Had all these things, and I'm telling you, I feel the weight of what God's going to do. I feel it, and I'm not settled in how to function in that feeling, okay? And I've talked over the last couple months when I've spoke about what I believe the seasons, you know, with the seasons of community we've had and the seasons of experience and presence that we've had and how God's going to marry those things because they're not competing. And you see us doing things. Good example. Next week, we're having praise and worship. Now, we used to have praise and worship, special praise and worship nights on a regular basis, but when 10 people come out, you feel like you're singing to yourself. And this is a stern rebuke by me. Okay? You all have an obligation to be here. Why? Because he gave us one another for a reason. I'm talking about fellowship today, briefly, because I think it's one of the most important things that somehow we've lost. And I think it's been a attack of the enemy, even with COVID and all those things. We got used to not needing each other when he's created us to need him, and it overflows into needing one another. You cannot grow into who you are in Christ, the fullness, without the realization that when he says love him and love one another, they're not competing. They're symbiotic. You can't escape it. If you're going to love God, the world will know it because they see you love each other. If the world never sees me interact with you, what kind of love will they see? None. Fellowship is so vital to the health of the church, to the health of his bride. He's coming back for a really healthy bride. I mean, he's going to be so hot he can't take it anymore. He's got to be with her. No, I'm serious. Men understand what I'm saying. You know, men like see their woman. That's it. That's the one. And they lose all rational thinking. All. And they will cross heaven and earth and through hell and everything else just to like hear that person breathe. There's nothing rational about it. That's how God is for you. And he's taking the time so you can prepare yourself for his return. And part of that is in fellowship. So when we announce these things, we don't just haphazardly do things in the church. There's reasons for it. And you need to participate in it. Why? So you can grow. Why else? So you can help someone else grow. Not division, but devotion. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, what is this fellowship? The word is koinonia. Many of you know a lot of things about it and stuff. I'm not going to get it. I'll just give you my definition of it. No one can argue with me other than say, I don't agree with your definition. And that's fine. It is not a social interaction. It is not hanging out with Bruce. Sorry. That's not what it is. It is a deep, intimate participation and sharing of your life with another person. It's more than social activity. It's a commitment to engage with one another, sharing responsibility for each other's lives and accountability in each other's lives. It's a perfect image of what Jesus has done for us and what he desires from us in relationship with him. Us in him, and him in us. Truth be told, we can't fathom that without each other. A lot of people have, when you talk relationship with God, it doesn't tick until you start relating it to another person and how you can interact. You do that with God? Yep. But you don't see God? Yeah, I do. Maybe not physically, but he's here. You don't feel God? Yeah, I do. You don't hear God? Yeah, I do. Well, how? Relationship. He's just not words on a page. He's a person that's consumed our lives. We need to function in this to be the fullness of the bride. Philippians 2:1 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, I'll say that. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, keyword, united, you are in relationship with Christ. You've accepted his mind over your mind. You've accepted his will over your will. You've accepted his kingdom over your own. You've accepted him into your heart and you've given him your heart. It's not a superficial thing. If any comfort from hope, or from his love, sorry, if any common sharing in the spirit, koinonia. If any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Okay, most of you will never know what I think from hearing me talk once a month or whatever, once a week, doesn't matter, you won't know. Most of the time, just listen to me, you'll get what I say wrong. Honestly, you'll get your own receipt of it. You'll filter it through whatever perspective you're going through at the moment, whether it's an emotional thing, where it's a circumstantial thing, right? We filter all these things. But in a conversation where you can ask questions and go back and forth, you can get understanding. You can say, oh, I thought you were saying that. No, I wasn't saying that at all. I wasn't even thinking that. Why would I think that? How could you think that? Tell me, that's how the enemy comes in. Well, did God really say, you won't surely die? He wasn't talking about their physical death. He was talking about death. Having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Koinonia. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. This is easier said than done for some people. Some people are naturally social, naturally desirous to be with other people. It's something that fills up their bucket, you know? I'll be honest, a lot of times for me, drains mine really quick. This message is a hard one for me. Why? Because I know the truth of it. I know how necessary it is in my life, but I will fight it tooth and nail. And some of you are like that. So when I say, get over it, I'm talking to myself. No, I literally have to tell myself, get over it. Why? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. Why? Because that's what he does. I can't just go by my feelings. I got to go by what his will is and what he says to do. You know, at some point I'm going to stand before God and I can't say, well, yeah, I just didn't want to get with Tammy that day. Yeah, I know you were tugging me to give her a call and say, because I know I had a word for her, but I just didn't want to. And I'm going to stand there and say, now tell me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I really don't want to have a list of all the things that he wanted me to participate in. Remember, Koinonia's participation in. And have this whole list that I decided not to participate in. And see all the blessing I could have been a part of. I don't want to see that. I don't want you to see that. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Not going to happen via Zoom. And I'm thankful for everybody watching, parents included. You know, Terry asked who was here last week, and I raised my hand. My wife was like, you weren't here last week. But I felt like I was. I mean, I was here for every part of it. I just wasn't physically present. You know? I thought that was funny. So when I think of fellowship, what do I think of? Running? No. I think of opportunity. And I want you to think of it as an opportunity. What is it an opportunity for? And this is where I say, I really haven't developed the depth of this, and probably if we just did a poll, we'd find out 20 more things that it does. But again, I said I'd be short. So, Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having a heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, fellowship is an opportunity to encourage and build up one another. Absent you spending time with me, you can pray for me. Thank you for praying for me. But you're not really going to be speaking a whole lot into my life, encouraging me or building me up without interaction. We were made to be interdependent. We are not made to be independent of one another. You're in this church for a reason, even if you're just visiting. We consider you family just because you visited. Why? The same God that is us is in you. It makes us one. One of heart, one of mind, one of vision, one of purpose. Why? Because we're about to do his will. God's about to move, whether you take it out of this place or it happens in this place. God's going to move and we're on board. But it only happens as we interact. Matthew 18, 20 says, where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. It's an opportunity to experience him. Well, yeah, you can do that alone. Yep, but one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000. What can we do? When we fellowship and we're aware of his presence. You know, experiencing God's really cool. I like experiencing God, but I've had more experience with God in and through other people than I've had just on my own. I go on vacation. I've been on cruises and I've watched these services. Why? Because I don't want to miss what God's doing. I want to experience corporately what you're experiencing corporately. So when I come back, I'm just part of the brick on the wall. I plug right in perfect unity and can flow with you. Why? I want to grow with you. He's made us to grow together. Opportunity to grow. My last point. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Ephesians 2:19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. I don't know, but my family lives with me. We are required to have proper fellowship in order for us to grow and to be the people that God has called us to be individually and corporately. Members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You say, well, God's in me. Yup. He's in us exponentially more. See, it doesn't say the world will know Bruce is his disciple by Bruce's love. It says the world will know Bruce is his disciple by Bruce's love for all the people he's family with. That's what it says. For our love for one another. So stand with me. I'm going to conclude where we started and then ask you to come down for communion. Fellowship is opportunity. Take advantage of the opportunities you have. Charlie Kirk no longer has an opportunity. Now, thank God that God is not dependent on a man. Thank God that when we think, was it Elijah that said, I'm the last prophet? And he said, I got all kinds of people. My paraphrase. What you're going to see happen in this nation, and it goes beyond this nation, is people rise up into the calling God has for them. Amen. Instead of relying on another voice. I want to tell you, quit relying on another voice when he's given you a voice. There's something that God wants to do. He wants to move. He wants you to be part of that only you can do. It's your appointed time. So I say this, John 10:10, where we started, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Please come for communion. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're doing. But more so, Lord, I thank you for your people, what you're calling them to do, and what they're going to be willing to devote to. We ask that it would bring glory and honor and praise to you in Jesus' name. Bless your people. Amen.